They sure work hard, don't they, Barney?
Yeah. I hate to see them work so hard.
Yeah, me too.
Let's go around back.
Well, we can't see them.
Gee, we ought to do something, Fred.
Okay. How's about taking a nap?
I got a better idea. Let's take a Winston break.
That's it. Winston is the one filter cigarette that delivers flavor 20 times a pack. Winston's got that filter blend.
Yeah, Fred. Filter blend makes the big taste difference, and only Winston has it up front where it counts. Here, ahead of the pure white filter. Winston packs rich tobaccos specially selected and specially processed for good flavor in filter smoking.
Yeah, Barney, Winston tastes good like a cigarette juice.
This is
RVA
News.com.
And now, our feature presentation.
Here's the man who cares, the man with the music, the man with the music. Here's the man.
Welcome to The Bub Show.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The Shadow knows.
Shadow, mysterious character who aids those in distress and helps the forces of law and order, is in reality Lamont Cranston, wealthy young man about town. Cranston's friend and companion, the lovely Margot Lane, is the only person who knows to whom the unseen voice belongs. The only one who knows the true identity of that master of other people's minds, the Shadow. Today's story, The Man Who Murdered Time.
Mr. Cranston, on behalf of all the employees of the club, I wish to thank you for your generous New Year's gift to the personnel.
It's quite all right, Stuart. Happy New Year.
The same to you, sir. And may I thank you, too, Mr. Hughes, for your gift.
You're very welcome, Stuart. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, too.
I wish I could have made it more, Cranston, but it hasn't been a terribly good year for me.
Well, I'm sorry to hear it, Hughes. Oh, by the way, how is Mrs. Hughes feeling these days?
Poorly. Well, the doctors at the sanitarium say she may pull out of it next year. That's why I'm looking forward to the new year so eagerly.
Well, Hughes, if there's anything I can do in the way of financial assistance...
Thanks, old man, but it won't be necessary. I expect to be out of debt very shortly.
Business improving?
No, a trust fund is coming due in 2 weeks. Inheritance from my Uncle Matthew, you know.
Well, I'm delighted to hear it, Hughes. It's 4 o'clock. Well, only 8 hours to a brand new year and new hope for all of us.
Amen to that.
You're coming to my New Year's Eve party tonight, aren't you?
Oh, I meant to tell you, Cranston. I'll be late. I got a call this morning from a second cousin of mine. Wants me to come to see him this evening. Brilliant scientist, but I suspect he's losing his mind.
Oh?
Know what he claims to have invented? A time machine.
A time machine?
Yes, it's fantastic, isn't it?
Come, Hughes. Is anything really fantastic in the modern world of science? 30 years ago, the notion that a human voice could circle the Earth without the aid of wires would have been called not only fantastic, but impossible. Radio, electric light, airplanes, all were called fantastic in their time, but today they're accepted facts. Why not the time machine?
Well, I'm from Missouri. Anyway, I'm really going to see my cousin, not because of his alleged invention, but, well, because he's dying.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yes, the poor chap's got an incurable heart condition. He told me his doctors don't give him more than a few days to live. Well, I've got to be off.
See you tonight, then, Hughes.
Only a miracle will keep me away, Cranston. A miracle like the time machine. Well, here, Willard. Drink this water. There. Feel better now?
Yes. Yes, better, Hughes.
Perhaps you'd better get into bed, Willard. Frankly, I didn't expect to find you up and about, dressed to kill.
Dressed to kill. Very good. Such an apt phrase. Well, why not? This is probably the last day of my life.
Well, I'm sure it's not as bad as all that, Willard. If you take care of yourself.
Come, Hughes. I'll never see the new year. That's what you're really thinking. Know what I've done today?
What, Willard?
The things I've wanted to do all my life. Packed them all into this one long, glorious day. I've smoked $2 cigars, eaten the finest foods, bought thousands of dollars worth of completely useless things just for the fun of indulging myself.
Willard, I thought this.
That I'm broke? I am.
Then how did you...
Borrowed, dear cousin. Spent other people's money, incurred enormous debts. Payable next year. Next year, which will never come.
I'm sorry, Willard.
Oh, what are you sorry about? I'm not. Matter of fact, I've just begun to celebrate. And you must join me, Hughes. Absolutely insist. I bought a marvelous sherry today, a rare vintage.
You rang, sir?
You needn't bother.
The sherry, John.
Yes, sir. I have it here, sir.
Fine, fine. Put it on the table.
Shall I pour, sir?
No, I'll do it myself. That's all, John.
Very good.
Here you are, Hughes. Drink hearty.
Thank you.
How do you like it? Nectar. Ambrosia, huh?
It has a peculiar flavor, hasn't it?
Oh, it'll grow on you. Finish it, Hughes. Drink to my last day on earth.
Oh, no, no, Willard, not to that.
To my last day on earth. And yours, my dear cousin.
To my last day?
Hughes, I told you that today I meant to satisfy every ambition I ever had. Well, I've left for the last my greatest ambition of all. To kill you.
To kill me? Well, you're joking.
Think so, Hughes?
But... why? What have I ever done to you?
What haven't you done to me? You've been a bone in my throat ever since we were boys together.
I believe you're really
but
serious.
If it hadn't been for you, I'd have been Uncle Matthew's fair-haired boy, his favorite, his pet. He would have raised me in luxury instead of you.
You quarreled with him. You were
he would have left me his money, not you, you Judas. You had everything while I starved, scraped, suffered. I've brooded over that, my fine cousin, a whole lifetime. And now, this wonderful day, this last day of the year, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you not once, but 1,000 times. You see that machine in the corner?
I see, Willard. Calm down.
That's my time machine.
Your time machine, yes. I remember your saying.
Do you know what this machine can do? It can prevent the future from happening.
The future from happening? Oh, now, look, Willard, look. Let me call your physician.
I'll be a fool. I'm as sane as you are. It's a scientific machine, not a madman's toy. Do you know how it works? Well, of course not. I'll explain it in simple terms. Hughes, what is time?
Why, time is...
Time is like a railroad track. A straight railroad track, Hughes. And the world is a train running along that track. On the track behind us lies yesterday, December 30th. The day we're traveling along that section of track we call December 31st. And at midnight tonight, the train, you, I, the whole universe, is scheduled to plunge straight ahead into January 1st of the new year. You follow me so far, Hughes?
Yes. What has this to do with your so-called time machine?
Just this. By using a revolutionary principle of physics, my own discovery, my machine bends the straight track of time, curves it, so that the time track forms a perfect circle. You fool, it's a scientific fact. I've done it.
Mad, I say, mad.
Listen to me, Hughes. At midnight tonight, when I turn on the switch, time will instantly be curved back on itself. So that instead of continuing into January 1st, we'll go back 24 hours. We'll live December 31st over again and again and again, like a phonograph needle caught in a groove.
You expect me to believe that this day will never end, that you can make December 31st repeat itself forever?
Laugh, you fool. You won't laugh long. Today, I've been especially careful to make it the fullest, happiest day of my life because I'm going to live this wonderful day forever. I'll catch time in that groove and hold it there. The future will never come. I'll never have to pay my debts. Despite my bad heart, I'll never die.
I'll have to be as insane as you to believe that.
Would you like a demonstration?
Playing the farce out to the end, are you? Well, go ahead. Demonstrate.
That's the proper scientific spirit you use. I'll set the machine to affect merely this house and ourselves. What incident of the last half hour do you want me to make repeat itself? Choose.
Oh, the butler and the sheriff.
John and the sherry, eh? Very good. And I want you to bear in mind that just as time will be repeated here in this room for the next few moments, so can I repeat time throughout the whole world, not once, but again and again. Now, let me adjust my machine. There. Now to close the circuit.
Really, Willard?
The sherry, John.
Yes, sir. I have it here, sir.
Fine, fine. Put it on the table.
Shall I pour, sir?
No, I'll do it myself. That's all, John.
Very good.
There. The automatic circuit cut us off, and we're back in ordinary time again. Convinced, Hughes?
It can't be. Impossible. It's a trick, a dream, a nightmare.
You'll be saying that for all eternity.
I'm getting out of here.
Are you, cousin? Try it if you can.
I can't. I'm paralyzed. I can't get out of this chair.
You feel pain now, don't you, Hughes?
Yes, horrible pain.
You shouldn't have drunk the sherry, Hughes. Your glass contained the slow poison, you see.
No, help, help.
There's an antidote on the table. You see that little green bottle you use just beyond the reach of your fingers? Isn't it ironic? If you could only move your arm 5 inches. Try. Oh, you can't. Dear me, how very, very sad. All you can do is look at the antidote while you die in agony.
Please, Willard, help me. Help me. I don't want to die.
Just a little while now, cousin, a little while. It's almost midnight. You'll die just before midnight. And then I'll turn on my machine. Set it to affect the whole world forever, and time all over the world will snap back 24 hours. Everybody in the world will live December 31st over again and again, forever and ever. You too, you.
No.
You'll visit me again, drink the poison cherry again, die again, live again, die again.
Lovely New Year's Eve party I ever attended.
Margot, you danced beautifully.
Thanks, Lamont.
I wonder what's happened to you. He said he'd be late, but I didn't.
Hold it, everybody! Here comes the New Year!
Happy New Year, Lamont.
Gotcha, Margot. 8, 9, 10, 11.
Lamont, where are we? I'm still in your arms dancing with you, but it's not the party, the New Year's Eve party in your apartment. How could that be?
I don't know, Margot.
What was that awful crash?
I don't know. But look around you, Margot. We're dancing in the Honolulu Club.
But we were dancing in the Honolulu Club right here last night. Last night at midnight. I mean 24 hours ago. Oh, I don't know what I mean.
Keep dancing with me, Margot. I've got to figure this out. Seems like a dream, and yet...
That's it, Lamont. It's a dream. I dreamed through the whole day, December 31st, right up to midnight. Then that crash, and I woke up here in the Honolulu Club.
Margot, it wasn't a dream, I tell you.
Then what was it, Lamont?
I don't know. But something's gone wrong, Margot. Something's gone wrong with the whole world.
But everything seems all right, Lamont.
Margot... Hold on to me. Don't let go. Let's walk back to our table.
Well, all right, but I don't understand.
Keep holding on. Margot, Do you remember last night, just about this time, as we were dancing, a waiter accidentally dropped a whole tray full of dishes?
Why, yes, that's so, Lamont. Lamont, it's happened. He dropped it just as he did last night.
Yes. I see it all now, Margot. We actually lived through December 31st. We, everybody, the whole world. But just as the last stroke of midnight came, something happened to time.
Time?
Yes. Time snapped back 24 hours. Instead of going on to January 1st, the world went back to the first moment of December 31st.
But nobody else seems to realize what's happened.
Yes, that is strange. Apparently everybody's forgotten that they lived through the last day of the year.
Why do we remember?
Margot, I believe that the same power that makes me invisible to others has something to do with this.
What do you mean, Lamont?
Years ago in India, I was studying with the yogi priests. I developed my powers of concentration, my power of will, to such an extent that apparently this accident of time doesn't affect me. How long I'll be able to fight against it, I don't know.
But I haven't your power, Lamont. Why do I remember, too?
Margot, because at the instant time flashed back, you happened to be dancing with me. You were in my arms, within the aura of my will, my influence.
No.
Just so long as you're touching me, you'll remember, too.
Oh, Lamont, I can't believe it. I can't.
Well, then try it. Let go of me. Go on, let go, Mama.
Well, all right. You're right, Lamont. You remember the Higgins, don't you?
Margo.
Yes, that's the family.
Margo, stop.
Well, they're very
Margo,
anxious that you and I go south.
Margo.
For the week. What am I saying? What's happened? Oh, Lamont, you're holding me again.
Margo, the instant you let go of me, you said exactly what you said 24 hours before. When I grabbed you, you snapped back, free of the new time spell.
Then it's true. Oh, Lamont, I'm afraid. Don't let go of me.
Steady, Margo.
Oh, but it's horrible. People will go on living through December 31st to eternity, never knowing, never realizing. Lamont, there'll never be a new year.
You're absolutely right. Unless this can be stopped.
But how can anyone stop it? Nothing human could have caused a thing like this to happen.
I'm not so sure, Margot. News told me that a cousin of his, a brilliant scientist, claimed to have invented a time machine. That cousin of yours may be responsible for what's happened to time.
But who is this man? Where did he live?
You didn't say. I'll have to find him some way. And when I do, Margot, it'll be as the shadow. Perhaps the shadow will be able to switch time back to normal. Bring the new year to a world doomed to live a day which never ends.
In just a minute, the curtain rises on Act Two of The Shadow's Adventure. Meanwhile, a word to you motorists. Do you slow down passing a school? Do you pass other cars on a hill? Do you come to a full stop at street intersection?
The shadow wonders. The terrific toll of deaths and injuries indicates that too many motorists fail to exercise caution, fail to consider the other fellow. Play safe. It pays.
And motorists, here's one thing more. If you only realize the importance that safe tires, too, play in safe motoring, you wouldn't hesitate a minute to put the new Goodrich Safety Silver Towns with the Lifesaver tread on your car. For remember, this new Silver Town is much more than a new tire. It's a new kind of tire safety. On the inside, it has the famous blowout protection of the Goodrich Golden Fly. And on the outside, it has the amazing new Lifesaver tread. The tread that sweeps wet roads so dry, you can actually light a match on its track. Yes, sir, that's plenty dry. So it's hardly surprising that Silver Towns will give you the quickest non-skid stops you've ever had.
Margo, keep holding on to me.
I will, Lamont. We can walk. My apartment isn't far. Oh, why don't you let me come with you?
No, Margo. This is the shadow's job. Maybe dangerous. I want you to be safe.
Safe in a world gone mad? Oh!
Come, watch yourself. The streets are slippery with ice. Here, hold on to me more tightly. We'll cross here.
What happened? Hey, here comes a cop. Somebody call an ambulance. That woman's hurt.
Oh,
hello. Come on. Do you remember, Margo? Last night? On this very spot?
Same taxi, the same corner, same poor woman struck down. It's happened all over again.
Yes, Margot. And it'll happen all over again every 24 hours from now until doomsday.
Oh, it's frightening. Look at that woman over and over.
Unless I can put time back on its track, Margot. I must. Let's hurry.
Oh, look at that poor man shivering in the doorway there. He hasn't even an overcoat.
He looks hungry, poor devil. Margot, remember last night? In a moment, he'll step out of that doorway and ask me for a dime.
Excuse me, mister. Could you give me a dime for a cup of coffee? I'm so cold, I'm freezing. Oh, thanks. Thanks, mister.
There's one thing I'm glad of, Lamont. He doesn't know. He doesn't know he's doomed to shiver and freeze and starve like that forever. And millions like him. Millions of unfortunate shivering and starving all over the world tonight.
That machine. I must find that machine. Well, here we are, Margot.
Don't bother to take me up. There's so much for you to do. So much, Lamont. The doorman will let me in. It's exactly the same time we got home last night.
Good evening, Miss Lane. Bad night, ain't it?
Hurry, Lamont. Sign Hughes's cousin.
Since time's repeating himself.
Well, I always say when...
Hughes will meet me in the afternoon at my club. Just as he met me yesterday. We'll talk as we talk then. Perhaps he'd be able to tell me...
Lamont, what's the matter? You're so pale suddenly.
It's funny, I... felt weak just then. As if my strength of my will were fading away. Could it be that
Lamont,
I do?
You mustn't. You've got to be strong. The world needs your strength.
Well,
let go of me, Margot.
All right.
You're draining my power, my strength away. Let go.
The wind is very biting, Miss Lane.
Yes, it is. Fred, will you take me up to my apartment?
Yes, yeah, sure, Miss Lane.
Gone. Safe upstairs. Goodbye, Margot. Until tomorrow. Tomorrow ever comes.
Mr. Crank, on behalf of all the employees of the club, I wish to thank you for your generous
Stuart,
New Year's gift to the
listen
personnel.
Listen to me. Can't you hear? Don't you understand what I'm saying to you?
And may I thank you, too, Mr. Hughes, for your gift.
You're
welcome, Stuart. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Stuart, stop.
I wish I could have made it more, Cranston, but it hasn't been a terribly good year for
Hughes,
me.
Hughes, let me take your hand. You're merely repeating what you said 24 hours ago.
Poorly, though.
Now, listen to me.
The face you may pull out of it.
Who is your cousin?
That's why
Who
I'm
is
looking
he?
Forward
Where does he
to
live?
New Year so eagerly.
Oh, hopeless. He's not attuned to my will. I'll have to follow him. Make him lead me to this cousin of his.
Expect
to the
be out
machine.
Of death very shortly.
I must concentrate. My willpower seems to be failing. I must hold on until Hughes visits his cousin.
Convinced, Hughes?
Can't be. It's impossible, Willard. It's a trick, a dream, a nightmare.
You'll be saying that for all eternity.
I'm getting out of here.
Are you, cousin? Further, if you can.
I can't. I'm paralyzed. I can't get out of this chair.
Hughes, you can. You're not paralyzed.
Now, yes. Don't you, Hughes?
Yes, horrible pain.
Hughes, there is no pain.
You shouldn't have drunk.
Hughes, hear me.
Your glass contained slow poison.
No, no, help, help.
I have helped you, Hughes. You were not poisoned. I substituted this antidote for the poison in the glass of sherry Willard handed you. You're not poisoned, I tell you. Exert your will, refute it to mine. Try to get out of that chair. Hold me. Hold me. Now try. I've broken the grip on the time spell a little. I made something happen that didn't happen yesterday. You did something just now you didn't do then. You drank the antidote instead of the poison. Try yours.
I heard a voice. A voice. But there's no one here. No one but... Try it, Zed. Chair. Out the chair. I'm standing! I'm free! Free!
Thank goodness, Lord. Hughes, can you hear me now?
Who are you? Who are you? I see only Willard. I don't think he sees me. I feel someone holding me. Who are you?
Never mind who I am, Hughes. Get out of this house at once. Go to the home of your friend, Lamont Cranston.
Yes, yes.
You are to attend the New Year's Eve party there.
Yes.
Remember?
Yes, yes. I seem to remember.
Go now, Hughes. You don't need me to hold you now. I will you to go.
A little while now, it's almost midnight. You'll die just before midnight. Where am I? Who is that?
You feel my power now, Willard. I'm holding you fast. Fast, do you?
I'm powerless in the grip of some invisible force. And it speaks. Who are you? Who?
I am the Shadow.
The Shadow?
Dr. Willard, you are guilty of the greatest crime ever perpetrated against mankind. You thought to condemn the rest of the world to an eternity of cold and darkness and suffering.
No, no, I didn't mean to do that.
You wanted an eternal life of pleasure, of evil. You tried to stave off forever the death that hung over you like a sword.
I don't want to die.
And to satisfy your selfishness, you tried to, you did, break the laws of nature. And so you must be punished, Dr. Willard.
Punished? Oh.
In a moment, I shall smash your devilish time machine, reduce it to splinters and scrap. And the instant the machine is smashed, time will snap back to normal. Instantaneously, time will take up where it left off when you put the machine into operation. And so will come what you thought to destroy forever. The new year. The blessed new year. That means new hope and happiness for the good and the innocent people of the world. While for you, it will bring what God decreed for you. Death.
No. No, don't smash the machine. Give me one more day of life. Just one. And I'll smash it myself.
Not 1 hour. Not 1 minute. Not 1 second.
Don't let me die. Stop.
Yes, Margot. The new year. At last.
Why, Hughes.
Oh, I'm sorry to be late, Branson. I don't know what happened to me. I feel as if I just woke up from a bad dream. I found myself running up here.
Mr. Hughes, you're ill.
No, he's all right, Margot. You are all right, aren't you, Hughes?
I guess I am. What time is it?
It's just past 12 o'clock, Mr. Hughes. Happy New Year.
New Year? Yes. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year, you. Happy New Year.
As a matter of fact, Lamont, it seems to me I had a dream, too. The strangest sort of dream.
Perhaps you did, Margot.
Well, anyway, Happy New Year, Lamont.
Happy New Year.
You are listening to
The Bope Show.
The Bope Show.
The Bope Show.
Are you ready, quartet? All right, let's go.
Drink to me, darling, not with thine eyes, but with past blue ribbon gear. Cause if you toast me with past blue ribbon, I'll know that your love's sincere.
The beer that is splendid is the beer that is blended from 33 fine brews. And if you serve me sparkling clear, perhaps your love, dear, I can't refuse.
You can serve it with cold cuts, it's sure to please. Serve it with a dab of tasty nipping cheese. Devil's food refreshing, it has no flaw. And anywhere they have the beer, they'll follow if you want.
I've run a million laps for a bottle of Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Mr. Bluebird's on my shoulder. It's the truth. It's actual. Everything is satisfactory.
Plenty of sunshine is heading your way when real folks and cartoon critters combine once again on the big theater screen in Walt Disney's classic Song of the South.
Everybody's got a laughing place to go.
You'll enter the animated world of Uncle Remus.
How do you do?
Fine, how are you?
Where Brer Rabbit outwits Brer Fox and Brer Bear. Right, Brer Bear?
Zip-a-dee-doo-da, zip-a-dee-doo.
Hey.
See Walt Disney's Song of the South. It's mighty satisfactual entertainment for the whole family.
Everybody loves a baby, and if yours is new, you're so busy in a tizzy, well, we can help you. Our diaper service is the easy way, and the cost is only pennies a day.
R-V-A.
News.com.
Call our diaper service today.
You're listening to The Bopes Show.
Fourth bullet tore through the flesh on my left shoulder. There was nothing between him and me now except a tree. I stood there waiting. There were two more shots left in the gun. I caught the glint of the gun barrel in the moonlight, and then the granddaddy of all firecrackers blew up in my face.
The New Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective. Your director, Bill Russo, inviting you to listen to Michael Shane, that reckless red-headed Irishman back at his old haunts in New Orleans, in another transcribed episode. We call it The Hate That Killed.
$3.87. Michael, you old capitalist, how do you do?
Mr. Shane, you've got to listen to me. You've got to help me.
I do. Sanderson. Hey, you look better in your newspaper pictures. I thought I made it clear I wasn't interested in your case.
But on the telephone, you wouldn't let me tell you what I want. I've got plenty of money.
I'm not interested in your money either.
Right on that door, it says Michael Shane, private detective, doesn't it? Well, doesn't it?
Yeah. It cost me 2 bits a letter, too. You said something about somebody wanting to kill you.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you take your troubles to the police?
I can't. I don't have anything to tell them. You think I'm a crank, don't you?
No, I think you're very charming, Mr. Simpson. Just keep your voice down.
I know a weak, dissipated body and a mind that's crazy half the time. But if you lived one day, just one day, in the atmosphere I do, you'd be shaking just like me. I tell you, death is in the air.
Yeah, sure.
What's the matter? That scare you? I suppose you like divorce cases. Alimony, spying on women. I'll bet you like spying on women.
Well, that's enough, Buster. Goodbye now.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I tell you, I'm going to die.
Not in my office. I'm busy. Beat it.
You don't believe me. Look, just tell me one thing.
Yeah?
One thing. Why did the insurance company refuse to sell me any life insurance?
From where I sit, you look like a mighty bad risk.
No, I've had an examination from my personal physician. There's nothing wrong with me.
That is a matter of opinion.
They wouldn't tell me the real reason. That was just an out.
All right, so what?
Just find out, that's all. Just find out why they refused me.
Well, it'll cost you 20 a day in expenses. Well,
here's my address. You'll find 3 houses on the estate. Mine's on the right of the big house.
I know all about you, Sanderson, and your famous father. He died the other day, didn't he?
Yes. Yes, he's dead. And he wasn't my father.
Huh?
He was my stepfather. That's why I used the name of Mark Sanderson. But his corruption lives on like something rotten inside you that you can't get out. Like something in your blood and your heart, and you can't tear it out.
Yeah, that's cute. You ought to set it to music. Are you always this jittery?
Why shouldn't I be jittery? Do you have some water?
Water? You mean you drink water, too?
Yes, my medicine, my capsules, you know, my nerves.
You'll find some water down the hall.
You'll let me know tonight, huh? You'll find out?
Yeah. I got a pretty good hunch why they refused your policy.
You do? Why? Why?
Because they probably don't expect you to live very long, Mr. Sanderson.
We'll return in a moment to the new adventures of Michael Shane and the hate that killed.
He was a fancy client, all right. Mark Sanderson, stepson of the late Gregory Larson. He was still young, maybe 30, but all his stepfather's filthy millions could never make a man out of him or give him anything decent out of life. He sat in my office, slobbering with beer, his eyes dull and empty. I don't need clients like that, but the insurance company angle intrigued me. Why had they refused Mark Sanderson's policy? Well, I turned toward my phone, feeling like a Hollywood agent doing his best for a client he didn't have much hope for, and dialed the life insurance company.
I'm sorry, you'll have to speak to Miss Bennett.
It was the old Chevron. Miss Bennett was maybe the 30th vice president in charge of bathtub accidents.
We cannot give out that information, but if you speak to Mr. Forsythe, he's the branch manager.
All I had to do was mention Mark Sanderson's name, and there'd be a long pause on the other end, and then...
No, sir, we can't discuss our policy with you, Mr. Shane. The matter is closed. It is entirely within our own discretion whether or not we choose to insure Mr. Sanderson's life or anyone else's.
No, I wasn't getting anywhere. Nobody was going to tell me the real reason they'd refused Mark Sanderson life insurance. I got Dave Sizenby on the phone. Dave used to be a private eye and then went to work as a detective for the insurance company. And he said he'd see what he could do. I waited about 10 minutes and then... Shane speaking.
Mike?
Yeah, Dave.
It's hush, hush.
Hey, what's going on? You're beginning to make me think Sanderson really has something to worry about.
I don't know. All I can tell you is that it might be a good idea to see a lawyer by the name of Ormsby.
Who?
Ormsby. O-L-M-S-B-Y. In the Lee Building downtown.
That's all?
No, one more thing. You didn't get the information from me.
Ormsby, attorney at law. The office was easily as old as Ormsby himself. About 70. Dried up like a prune. His voice was like parchment, dry as dust and ready to crack.
You're a shrewd young man by the look of you. And if you have in your head the good sense to avoid unnecessary trouble, you will desist from inquiring into the affairs of the Larson family.
Well, that's as pretty a turn threat as I've ever heard.
It's excellent advice, Mr. Shane. As for your question, I am not at liberty to divulge any information.
You mean to me?
To you or anyone else. I realize Mark's hysteria has caused you some trouble. And as the family attorney, I'll be glad to pay.
Smooth. I didn't think I was going to take this case, Mr. Ormsby, but you know I'm getting more and more interested.
Then you will get yourself more and more involved.
Well, that's my business, Mr. Ormsby.
Mr. Shane... You must anticipate a short life.
Could be, Mr. Ormsby. At least a happy one. So long, Pop. Well, I found out a few things before I went out to the swamps where the old man had dug in after he retreated from the New Orleans reform movement. He'd built a large house for himself, a smaller one for his second wife and stepdaughter, and another for his stepson. He kept his cousin Agatha with him. Seems he separated from his immediate family, kept tight hold on them, but didn't want them too close. He'd finally died 2 days ago after a long illness. I went down there to his little kingdom in the swamp and got a funny feeling. A little chill, even though it was a warm night. Little rolling wisps of fog. Night sounds that had a death knell in them. There were lights on downstairs in the old man's house, but I headed for young Mark Sanderson's place. It was dark, and I thought I'd mosey around the house to the back when somebody was playing hide-and-seek with me.
Okay, take it easy.
Who is it?
Just a friend, pal. A word to the wise thing.
All right, I'm listening.
You're not wanted around here.
Who doesn't want me?
Nobody.
Okay, I get the message.
Why don't you guys ever listen? This is for your own good, pal. I don't want to have to use this blackjack.
You made a mistake. Never tip your mitt.
You asked for it, but...
Yeah, you move pretty fast for a big guy, but not fast enough. All right, I got the blackjack now. Come on, get up. There, now beat it. Shane, you surprised me. Must be something to it, after all. The bigger they are...
Well, that was quite an exhibition.
Oh, are they wearing revolvers with dinner dresses this year?
Who are you?
Mike Shane.
There's a flagstone path here. Let's get around front, out of the shadows.
You must be Celia, Mark's sister. But do you have to keep pointing that gun at me?
Yes, for a while.
Well, anyhow, I'm glad to... Oh.
Yes?
Oh, my.
What's the matter? Haven't you ever seen a woman before?
Not very often like you. Is that really the color of your hair?
My hair has been red since the day I was born. You've got nice shoulders.
Oh, I like yours better. You're going to catch a cold in that outfit.
You have what so many men lack these days. A sense of virility and strength.
Well, that comes from eating all my vegetables.
What are you snooping around here for?
I was looking for Mark.
Oh. You're the detective he hired.
Check.
Now you do interest me. Who's the man you were fighting with?
Don't you know?
No, I don't, Mr. Shane, isn't it?
That's right.
Mark and Aunt Agatha and Mother are in the house.
Oh?
The reading of Stepfather's will tonight. Mr. Elmsby, the lawyer.
May I come along?
Why not? Don't go in. They've already started.
So what? I want to hear that will. Who's in there?
They all are. I don't want to interrupt. I'll open the door a little.
Yeah. Quite a gathering.
Yes. Mother, Aunt Agatha, Mark.
Hold it. I'll listen.
All my property, real and personal, owned by me at the time of my death, to that person from among my four heirs who outlives all others. Whether it be my cousin Agatha, my stepdaughter Celia, my dissolute stepson Mark, or my neglectful wife Margaret.
Well, I know we do something like that all
these
the time.
Goods shall be bequeathed, therefore, only after the death of my last heir but one. And in the event my inheritor cannot by law inherit, then these goods shall pass to Philip Almsby or his heirs and assigns.
That's it. Let's go in, Mr. Shane.
Okay.
Oh, we waited for you, Miss Celia. We didn't know where you were.
Thank you, Mr. Almsby.
Mr. Shane, did you hear that? Did you hear?
There's your answer, Mark. That's the reason your insurance was refused.
Yes, he couldn't stop hating.
It's so obvious, isn't it? Dear Father wants us to kill one another off. Mother.
Yes, Celia.
Poor Mother. He couldn't leave you alone, could he? Even after he died.
Oh, my mother, Mr. Shane.
Mrs. Larson.
And my Aunt Agatha, Father's cousin.
Yeah, apparently, Cousin Agatha was bored by the proceedings.
Oh, Aunt Agatha's always taking catnaps. Agatha! Agatha, wake up!
Mark, stop shaking her.
Oh, she doesn't want to wake up. I...
Aunt Agatha!
She's not moving. She's not breathing.
For a very good reason. Your Aunt Agatha's taken her last catnap. She's dead.
We'll return in a moment to the new adventures of Michael Shane and the hate that killed.
I didn't want to take the case in the first place, but it was the insurance angle that got me. Why was Mark Sanderson's insurance refused? I couldn't get any information from the insurance company. I couldn't get it from the lawyer Ormsby either. But then I found out what it was all about. The insurance company must have got wind of the terms of the old man's will. And what a will. Old Gregory Larson's wife and Mark and Celia and his cousin Agatha, all of them were heirs in a sort of 10 Little Indians routine. All his money to go to the last one to stay alive or to lawyer Ormsby. And the old man wanted them to kill each other off. It was that simple. I wanted a few words with my client, Mark, and I waited while Sergeant Lavery went through his routine with him and then decided to bust it up.
I want protection. I'm a taxpayer. I don't care what you have to do. Put me in jail if you want to, but I
slow
demand
down, protection. Sanderson. You'll blow a gasket.
Where do you fit in here, Shane?
Well, like I told you, Sergeant, this is my client.
I suppose now you're convinced someone is going to try to kill me, Shane?
I had a talk with your sister, Celia, Mark. You didn't tell me you lived here a few days before your stepfather died.
Celia and I came here just before he died. But it didn't mean anything. You heard his will.
Yeah. Sergeant.
What?
Why don't you lock him up? Maybe jail is the safest place for him.
Okay. Speak to Denton inside.
Yes. Yes, I will. I will.
All right, Shane. Your client's taken care of. You can go home now.
No, I think I'll stick around, Sergeant.
Why? You think there's going to be more killings?
Well, now, Sergeant, don't you? I was curious about Margaret Larson, Mark's mother. Why hadn't she been with her husband the last days of his life? Why had he called Mark and Celia, not her? The more time I spent in this atmosphere of death and hate, the more jittery I got. Margaret Larson was sitting in her living room. A low fire crackled in the fireplace. That was the only light in the room. She sat erect in an old creaky rocking chair by the fire, a light glinting on her dark brown eyes that were just a little too bright.
When will it stop, Mr. Shane? As long as I can remember, it's been like this. The fear, the hate.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything else. It's never been normal. His hatred touched all of us. That horrible, sick man inside his house. Never going outside. But you felt him all the time.
Well, you once thought enough of him to marry him.
That was my mistake.
He hated you more than the others.
Yes. Mr. Shane.
Yes?
How did Agatha die?
It was poisoned.
What kind of poison?
I don't know yet.
What about Celia and Mark? What's going to happen to them?
Mark, by his own request, is in jail or on his way.
Jail?
Yeah, he said he wanted protection.
Oh.
And Celia, she's the kind who can take care of herself. Hey, look, I'm getting the willies or something. Can't we have some more light in here? What's the matter?
Mr. Shane.
Yeah, what?
In all the years I've spent in this swampland, I've seemed to develop an extra sense.
What are you trying to say?
There's someone in this room.
I don't hear anything.
You weren't supposed to.
What? Oh, you're a sucker for a left hook. My pal with a warning.
Don't move, pal. Don't even blink your eyes. I got a gun. And I'm not getting too close to you.
Come back for a rematch? I better answer the phone.
You better not. You.
Yes.
Answer it.
Hello? Yes, Sergeant, this is Mrs. Larson. Thank you, Sergeant.
What is it, Mrs. Larson?
Mark, isn't it funny? I can hardly feel anything. It's Mark.
Poison?
Yes. The same as Agatha.
Where?
In his car. He stopped to take a drink. There was poison in it. The same poison that killed Agatha.
All right, Shane, this is all very touching. Come on, let's go.
No, wait, just a minute.
Let's go. Getting out of this place is giving me the creeps.
Mrs. Larson, tell Celia about Mark. She's in danger. Tell her...
That's just so you'll know it's loaded, Shane. I'm sorry to spoil your rug, lady. Well, Shane, I won't aim at the rug next time.
He was smart. He kept me at arm's length. The way he handled me, you'd think I had the plague. He was so calm and so careful, I began to worry. Give me the nervous guys. Give me the guys who think they're tough. I can take care of myself with them. But this bird knew exactly what he was going to do. He acted like a trapper who'd caught a wildcat and was measuring him for the kill. We went down the hall and out the rear door. If I was going to do anything, it better be pretty quick. It had turned cold and the damp fog clung to my clothes, got into my nostrils. They took a little path that led into the swamp. Funny, I kept worrying about Celia, about protecting her, not about myself. It was all screwy, sort of detached, almost a dream sequence. Things were happening too fast and I couldn't stop them. All right, how much farther into this swamp, laddie?
We're here. Okay. Go stand up against that tree over there.
Here?
Right there.
It was a big, fat old cypress tree, and I loved it. He thought it was going to be like an execution without a blindfold, but you can tell about these punks. You can tell when their finger itches. Before he lifted his sights, I was around on the other side, and his bullets tore chest high into the big, fat tree trunk.
Maybe your feet are showing, Shane. I got plenty of time. I got nothing but time. This is the most important thing I ever did in my life, and I'm going to do it right. Now, careful, Shane. I'm starting to come around.
Oh, it was going to be a dilly. I ducked my head out, pulled it back in. If I counted right, that made four and one in the house. Five. It was starting to edge around. It cut like a knife through the meat on my shoulder. It must have been just a nick because it only burnt. It didn't slug me. Six. He was still edging around, coming a little closer, but he still wasn't taking any chances on my jumping him.
A nick, you, Shane? Watch it now. I'm going to run. Which side, Shane?
That spun me around, caught my other arm. Bullet hit solid. I almost went down. 7.
You counting them, Shane? I got a couple of more clips when this one's finished. Here I come again.
Who wrote that story about the hunter who wasn't happy unless he was hunting a human being? He must have laughed like this punk. It must have been off his trolley. I caught a look at the weasel's face, and then it was like the granddaddy of all fuses blowing out. I'd heard about people feeling the wind of a bullet, but this wasn't a wind. It was a gentle sigh, a little puff. He missed my nose by a 32nd of an inch. And that was 8. I dashed out after him. But he was on his way, fumbling with his gun, putting a new clip in while he ran. Only he wasn't watching where he was going. He tripped over a log. I pulled up short and I stared. There were several logs laid out in a rough circle, sort of protecting a patch of ground. Ground? A punk had tripped and gone in head first and started to sink. His body thrashed around. The head came up covered with what looked like oily mud, only then I knew what it was. Quicksand. It didn't take 15 seconds. And he disappeared. Even if I wanted to help him, I couldn't. It came too fast. I looked and he was gone. A couple of big bubbles came up, slick and moldy, and that was all. On the way back out to the house, my mind was wrestling with angles and worrying about Celia so hard I almost forgot I had a slug in my shoulder. I could see a light on the second floor of Mrs. Larson's house. I prayed that that meant Celia was still alive. I ran to the front door and began pounding.
Mr. Shane, why all the commotion?
Oh, you're still okay. How about your mother?
She's fast asleep in her bed. Come on in.
Yeah.
What's that?
Oh, her cat must have followed me here.
That's good luck, Mr. Shane. And all New Orleans superstition. Let her in. Sit down. Now, what... Oh, Mr. Shane, you're bleeding.
Yeah, I almost forgot.
Here, let's get that jacket off.
Okay. Easy.
Sorry. Now, I'll just tear the shirt open.
You heard about your brother?
Yes. Mother told me. In a way, I think perhaps he's better off. He never was very happy. My stepfather saw to that.
Oh.
Sorry. I've got to clean it up, you know.
Sure, go ahead. Celia, I'm going nuts trying to figure this thing out. Your stepfather hoped you'd kill each other off. He planned it that way. You and your mother wouldn't fight on that kind of bait.
Thank you.
The only other answer is Ormsby. He gets everything if one of you are taken care of. I don't have anything on him. It won't gel.
I'm afraid this will sting a little.
Oh.
There. It's all over until the doctor takes over. Here, have a little of this. It's from my dear departed stepfather's wine cellar. Napoleon Brandy, 1812.
Yeah. Turn off and get a whiff of anything that rare. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was clumsy of me. I'll pour you another.
Anyhow, that stray cat's going to have a good time. He likes Napoleon brandy, too.
Yes, he does, doesn't he? You know, I think I'll join you. I have a weakness for good brandy.
All right. I have a weakness for women who have a weakness for good brandy.
Here you are, Mr. Shane. Mike. Hey.
Right, Celia. That cat was good luck. He'll be stiff in another few minutes.
What?
Yeah, that brandy is spiked with enough poison to kill Gargantua. Where'd you get this brandy, Celia?
Why, I think Mr. Ormsby gave it to me.
We'll be back in a moment with Mike Shane and the thrilling climax to our story.
About Ormsby almost sent me off on a tangent. The big idea was slow in coming, but it paid off. The whole thing fell into place. It was kind of hard to see all at once. It came out gradually. Celia, your mother didn't go into your stepfather's house before he died, did she?
She hasn't been inside that house in 15 years, Mr. Shane.
Well, that's it. And it's so simple, so very simple. Here, let me have that brandy bottle. I'm taking it down to headquarters for a little fingerprint job.
I don't understand.
I'll be back. I'll explain it to you with gestures. Now, you probably don't know it, but you called me Mike a few seconds ago. That's enough of a start for me.
But what about Mr. Ormsby?
There's a payoff for him, too.
hard to believe, Shane.
There's no other explanation, Sergeant. Olmstry was the only one who knew the exact terms of the will. He'd get everything if the family were all out of the way.
Yeah, he had a good idea what would happen.
And he decided to wait it out. That's why he hired that character to get rid of me.
Yeah, that makes sense. Olmstry didn't want anybody to get in the way of the natural course of events.
Yeah, an old man hates so much he can't let it die with him. He wasn't satisfied until he'd fixed it so his rotten touch reached out from the grave.
It's still hard to believe, but you can't argue with fingerprints.
Sure. There was only one answer. The fingerprints on the bottle of Napoleon brandy and the fingerprints on Mark's flask and Aunt Agatha's special milk bottle, they all matched. The plan was simple. He figured all the suspicion would rest on his wife after Agatha and Mark and Celia were dead. Yes, the fingerprints all matched. They were the fingerprints of Gregory Larson. He kept right on killing even after he was dead. There's a moral in all this somewhere. Something about evil turning on the evil door and paying him back. I haven't quite figured it out yet, but Celia's a pretty clever girl. I think I'll show her how the other half of New Orleans lives. Take her to dinner tonight and discuss it with gestures.
This is your director, Bill Russo, again. Our story was based on characters created by Brett Halliday. Our music is composed and conducted by John Duffy, and Michael Shane is portrayed by Jeff Channing. The New Adventures of Michael Shane is a Don W. Sharp production, transcribed in Hollywood and distributed exclusively by the Broadcasters Guild. Next week, you'll hear Michael Shane in another thrilling adventure.
Show is brought to you by...
This episode of The Boat Show is brought to you by...
RVA News.com